On the back table are some overflow books from my library. With your help and the help of the other churches we've pastored down through the years, I've tried to buy a book a week for nearly 40 years. And it gets to the point, I've got books that are up and down, and then I've got books lying on top of books. I've got books in boxes, books on chairs, books in my study, books at home. And so there's a few overflow books, probably between my wife and myself. We probably have a running library of about 7,000 volumes. And so if you buy all of these there, you're not going to deplete the supply. If you stepped in my study, you'd say, boy, we need about a half a dozen more tables out here. Last week, you remember we talked about Ruth and Naomi and the crises faced in the loss of home as Naomi and her family moved to Moab. Then about the loss that occurred with the husband dying, the two sons got married and the two sons died. And so now Naomi is anticipating her return to Bethlehem. Sometimes it's hard to figure out, how do you put a title to a sermon? Do I talk about Naomi's feeling in the midst of some very positive things? Was it she was looking at her cup and said it's half empty? Or do I talk about coming home to the place of blessing? As I read, beginning in verse 14 down to the end of the chapter, perhaps you'll come up with a title of your own. Follow along, if you would, while I read. After Naomi now had told her daughters-in-law, stay here, go back to your father's homes, get married, and then she was going to go home to Bethlehem because she'd heard that there was crops there. Verse 14, they lifted up their voice and wept again. One daughter-in-law, the name of Orpah, kissed her mother-in-law, and the assumption is that she left then to go back home. But Ruth, the other daughter-in-law, clave unto her. The word means to stick like glue. And Naomi says, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not, beg me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also. In other words, take my life, if aught but death part thee and me. When Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, then Naomi left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. It came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. The word means pleasant. Call me Mara, the word means bitter, for the Almighty hath dealt very Mara with me, very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Part of the Abrahamic covenant that God made with Abraham way back when is that the people should stay in the land. Every time Abraham left the land, he had a problem. Remember, he went to Gerar, lied about his wife, and she was almost taken to be another man's. Problems when he left the land. Isaac grew up in the home. Guess what Isaac did? He went to Gerar. He left Israel. He left the land and went away. Sometimes people think leaving Bethlehem, the place of blessing, the house of bread, they think they're going to come out better by going someplace else other than to the source of bread. And I'm making a spiritual application, the source of spiritual blessing. They think they're going to do better their way than God's way. They think that the bread they're going to find is better than the bread of the house of bread, Bethlehem. Well, did Naomi fare better having left Bethlehem to go to Moab? Well, it says that she left full and came back empty. Her husband was gone. Her two sons were gone. And she was so changed during those 10 years, or maybe somewhat more than 10 years, that people looked at her when they saw her and they said, "Are you really Naomi?" When Naomi heard that there was blessings, there was crops being grown back in Bethlehem, she went back to the place of blessing. And I find that very interesting. She had told her daughters-in-law, "Stay there, stay in Moab." One did, the other stayed with Naomi. There was weeping, there was affection. Naomi urged Ruth, "Return to your people. Return back to Moab. Return to those who live in Moab, the Moabite people." And Ruth was smart enough to realize that the Israelites had no love in their hearts for Moabites. Naomi knew that. And she said, "Don't go with me, stay here. Go back home." But then she said, "Go back home to your Elohim, to your gods. Go back home." Now, I wonder if in the 10 years that the girls had been married to the sons of Naomi, if there had been some point in which they had been converted to worshiping Jehovah God. Ruth, of course, says, "I want your God to be my God." I don't know if the people that left the land were faithful to worship Jehovah God or not. I kind of think they were. But then Naomi turned bitter against God after she experienced loss. "Return to your gods. The chief god of Moab was Chemosh, the Moabite national deity. He was understood as having sovereign authority over all aspects of life. He is referred to as bringing to pass both good and evil upon the Moabites. Originally, he was the god of war, but later on in Moabite history, they changed into a general sovereign god. Interestingly, his will was mediated to his people by the king," so they believed. And so when the king of Moab spoke, he spoke with the authority of Chemosh, the Moabite supposed deity. "Go home to your gods. is what Naomi said. She was so much in despair, almost to the point, why should you come with me? God has not blessed me. Maybe you can go to your God and worship Him. Maybe He'll do something for you. Go home. And yet, here she was on the way back to the place of blessing herself. And then I note, starting in verse 16 in our text here, Ruth said, entreat me not, don't beg me to leave you. I was reading a commentary yesterday, and I ran across an interesting term, referring to Ruth when she said, no, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to go back to the gods. I'm not going to go back to my people. The term was adventurous disobedience. She disobeyed what Naomi said. And in fact, Orpah did obey. But here was adventurous disobedience. I thought that was an interesting way to put it. I'm not encouraging you to do adventurous disobedience, but that's exactly what Ruth did. She says, I'm going to stay with you. Five things, particularly. I will go with you. And by the way, when she said that, it was a commitment to sacrifice. She was going to go with this older widow lady. Both of them, of course, were widows. She was going to go with this older widow lady back to Israel who hated the Moabites. When she went, she probably thought she would never have a husband. She would never be accepted by the people, but she was going to try. She was going to try to help her mother-in-law the best she knew how. Literally, it was going into a sense of self-sacrifice. It was going back to a place of blessing for Naomi. It was going to a place of sacrifice for Ruth. Sometimes you and I have been through that. We've taken a step and we've known that in a sense it was a step backward, and yet we perceived that it was the will of God. We're aware of the song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. The man who wrote the song was pastoring a small country church and was called to pastor a much larger, prestigious congregation elsewhere. He packed up his wagon. They were going with horse and wagon. He packed it up, was ready to go, looked out at the people, said, I can't leave you. I can't leave you. God has called me here. And in a sense, to stay there was a sacrifice. Here, Ruth goes with her, says, I will go with you. I will live with you. Your home is going to be my home. I'm going to accept that wherever you live, if it's a tent or a cottage or out in the open, I'll be there with you. I will live with you. I will adopt your people. I will attempt to identify with your people. I want to go with you. Your home, my home. Your people, my home. And I will follow your God. I'm accepting Him for myself. This is a moment declaring Ruth's conversion. I will accept, I will follow, I will trust your God. I see this as Ruth's conversion to faith. Your God, my God. Not only that, I will stay with you till you die, and I'm going to stay there till I die, and I want to be buried in your family plot. I want to be with you not only through life, but in death. Ruth
is a picture, if you please, of the Holy Spirit, who never leaves us, who comes into our life as the earnest of our salvation, and He never leaves us. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart, live in your life, and at that point, He's the down payment of more to come, but the more to come is going to involve Him as well as others. Here's the picture. Ruth now is the picture of Naomi returning. And when she returns with the person of blessing. I said to begin with, she returns to the place of blessing. Now she returns with the person of blessing. By the way, you and I have that personal blessing in our life when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Never leave us. Never forsake us. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. You remember Jesus said? Constantly abiding in Him. The person of blessing. So they too went on their way. Verse 19. Till they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? This is a return to the fellowship of blessing. Naomi returns to the people, her people. Sometimes people get out of the will of God and they have to return to that place of blessing. Sometimes people are not listening to the Holy Spirit speaking in their heart. They have to recognize that He is the person of blessing. Sometimes Christians get out of the will of God, and when they do, they often forsake the assembling of God's people together, and they must return to the fellowship of blessing. And here Naomi is returning to the place where she had been, made her home, and lived there for so many years. And there's an interesting word here. The scripture, King James, all the city was moved about them. The word conveys the stirring of the city like a bee doing its buzzing. Everybody was talking. She was on the front page of the newspaper, if they'd had a newspaper in those days. Naomi returns. She has come back. A decade away or more, and now she's home again. Some of you have made your home elsewhere other than here in Southern California. And when you go home, people say, oh, it's so good to see you. We've been missing you. It is so marvelous to hear your voice, to be with you again. And I think this is the feeling here. They were buzzing around like a bunch of bees. The city was moved about them. The stirring of the city. And then they said, is this Naomi? We know who you are. We know it's you. But there's something very different about you. Now, when people go through sorrow and aging and negative circumstances, it often takes its toll on their features. Now, I don't know if suddenly her black hair had turned gray, if overnight the wrinkles that had, her face may have been smooth and now she's wrinkled. We're glad you're here, but is this really you? Maybe you haven't seen somebody for a number of years and they call you up on the telephone and say, well, let's get together. And so you meet them and the years have changed their appearance. Maybe the full head of hair that he had has turned to baldness. Maybe the gray, the black hair has turned to gray. The smooth skin has turned to wrinkles. They looked at Naomi. By the way, when people are out of the will of the Lord, it makes them spiritual wrinkles in their lives. It creates something, there's something different. When a person isn't walking with the Lord, their life is not the same. Is it really that person? Yes. But it's taken its toll. The loss of blessings. So Naomi then is questioned. She talks about it. Call me not Naomi. It's not pleasant anymore. Call me bitter. Call me Mara. For the Almighty hath done very Mara against me, very bitter against me. Was it God's fault? Did she go through all of this? Was God a big, mean bully? No. The Bible tells us, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Makes us almost wonder, why didn't Elimelech just keep his family in Bethlehem? Yes, there was a famine, but God can sustain people through famines. God can sustain people through sorrow, through loss, through hurt, through pain, through anguish of various things. Don't run away from it. The word patient is the word to stay up and hold up under whatever it is that is pain in our life. Sometimes we try to run away from the pain. We run away from the anguish. And instead, God wants us to be patient. Call me not pleasant. Call me Mara. You remember the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness. They came to a spring, an area where there was water. They couldn't drink it. It was bitter. What do they call it? The waters of what? Mara. Same word, isn't it? Mara. Bitter. Bitter. And so here is Naomi. She said, God has been mean to me. And so therefore call me meanness. God has been bitter against me, therefore call me bitter. And then she goes on to say that I left full. Well, I thought they left empty. I thought they were leaving because it was a famine. But she looks back. She finds that her fullness was in her family, her husband, her two sons, the family together. You know, folks, we can lose all that we have, but if we've got the love of one another, that counts for more than all the things that we could possibly accumulate. Was it God that was being mean to her? No. But she had experienced great loss, emptiness. Then she says, it's like God came to court and he was the attorney that testified against me. Well, I wonder why she felt that way. I wonder if there's something in her life that created that sense of guilt. Something that she needed to get right with the Lord. God has testified against me. God has been a witness, a legal witness against me. And then further, he has afflicted me. He has beat me. Now, admittedly, she went through some beatings. She went through some emptying. She went through some hard times. It wasn't God's fault. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes we blame God for the hard times that we go through. God, why did you do this to me? Probably it wasn't God at all. Sometimes just sowing what we are reaping what we sow. Sometimes the devil is after you and he's trying to cause you to fall any way you can. Sometimes it's our old natures that erupt. And sometimes God is saying, you know what, my child, you stepped out of my will. You need a spiritual spanking.
many reasons why people suffer. She was blaming God. What a tragedy. But not only was she returning to the place of blessing, returning with the person of blessing, she didn't know how wonderful Ruth was yet, but she's going to find out. Returning to the fellowship of blessing, and now returning to the prospect of blessing, verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. It was the perfect time for blessing, wasn't it? Returning at the grain harvest. These two women shared the common lot of widowhood in a society which did nothing to relieve the hardship and poverty of widows. But Naomi had chosen the right time to return, when there might be a surplus of food due to the upcoming grain harvests, providing hope for them. The barley harvest was ready, it was ripe, coinciding with the Feast of the First Fruits. Putting things together, first there comes the Passover, and then the day immediately after the Sabbath of Passover begins the Feast of the First Fruits, which normally ties in with the initial harvest. And this was the time they were coming back. The time of Passover, the time of the Feast of First Fruits, the time of the harvesting of the barley crop. Now, admittedly, barley was oftentimes referred to as the food of the poor, but it was food. We can't always be choosers. It may not be that God has a T-bone steak for you today. It might be a round steak between a bun that we call a hot dog. Maybe it's rice or potatoes or whatever it might be. Sometimes we have the barley, other times we have the wheat. But she came back at the right time for blessing. Isn't it amazing how God's providence watches over us, taking us to the right place at the right time with the right people? Talk about right people. There was Ruth with her. And not only that, the people were welcoming her return. She was coming back. She thought she was empty, but she was going to be full pretty quick. The book of Ruth describes her fullness as it's